Let's just step back and talk about WeWork for a minute, okay? Because, wow. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Oh, WeWork. I mean, what a couple weeks for the co-working unicorn. Its valuation has dropped by tens of billions of dollars. WeWork delayed its move to go public. Its public IPO filings made people's hair curl with stories of its CEO self-dealing and sketchy corporate governance. And earlier this week, that CEO, Adam Neumann, resigned, but still leads the board. So now, more questions. Does WeWork actually work as a business? And what does all this upheaval, especially the delayed IPO, mean for employees who have stock in WeWork that is worth less every single day? Let's dig into this in Quality Assurance, the Friday segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Shira Ovideh is a Bloomberg opinion columnist covering technology. I asked her how bad it is to be a WeWork worker right now.
People who work at startups and get stock for working there, they're also basically the low man on the totem pole. So if a company gets sold, they're the last ones whose stock gets paid out. And if there's not enough left over, if a company is sold or if the value of the shares goes down, they're often the ones that are left holding the bag, that their stock is either worth significantly less than they expected or worth nothing.
Yeah. You also wrote recently that you are not confident that Adam Neumann stepping down as CEO fundamentally clears the path to an IPO. Tell us more about that.
So everyone who made WeWork the way it is, both good and bad, is still at the company, right? So notably, Adam Neumann owns a significant percentage of this company. He's going to be the non-executive chairman, which means he leads the board, and he's going to have a significant influence. Mm-hmm. The investors in this company knew exactly how this company was being run. They let it get this way, and they're all still there. Many of them are on the board. That includes SoftBank, the large Japanese conglomerate that has poured more money into WeWork than any other single individual or institution. They're still there. The bankers and lawyers who worked on this IPO, they're all still there. So everyone should get blame for making WeWork the mess that it is. And most of them are still around and still influential at the company.
So one of the other things about the WeWork story that we are doing right this minute is lumping it in with the tech industry writ large, when in fact there is not a lot of tech involved in running the business. But I wonder, did these sort of trappings of tech industry, including an outsized personality as a founder, help create this image that allowed it to attract so much investment?
Yeah, you're right. So on the one hand, WeWork is not a tech company. I keep saying, I don't know why I'm writing about this. This is a real estate company. I don't know anything about real estate companies. On the other hand, the thing that WeWork shares with a more conventional tech startup is the investor base and the culture, right? So the whole point of WeWork, the reason WeWork was worth $47 billion, is that it's not just an office leasing startup, or that wasn't its ambition. It had this grand idea to make office leasing the sort of hub around this vision of a different way of life for people, right? More communal living. It wasn't supposed to just be an office leasing startup. And that is part and parcel of the attitude now in tech startups, right? That ideas have to be big or there's no point to them. And also mm-hmm. the money here is big. And again, these are some of the same investors who are putting money into companies like Airbnb and Uber and other tech companies. And the idea is that if you pour as much money as you possibly can into a young company, you can essentially make it a fait accompli that they succeed, right? So they can expand as fast as they possibly can into every country. They can fulfill the wildest dreams of the founders. And basically, you leave the founding team alone to do whatever they want. And the upside of that is you can get these highly successful, magical companies. You might get the next Google or Facebook, or you could let this company spiral into a self-dealing mess, as WeWork got, without any kind of brakes on the founders who run the company.
Right. And I mean, on that note, I think we've been asking this now for years, but seriously, are we close to done with the cult of the founder yet? Any signs of that waning?
I am definitely of the belief that no one learns any lessons. So, no, I think the problem is there is enough good examples of empowering really smart and successful people. There's enough examples of that working out, right? A sort of Facebook or Google or Amazon kind of situation that it overrides the really terrible situations like WeWork or Theranos or other kinds of companies like that.
This is a little in the weeds, but this is the second sort of major SoftBank-backed company that's had to have its CEO removed in advance of hopefully an IPO. And I saw somebody tweet the other day, you know, what does this say if you are a founder at another SoftBank-funded company? Because they really are propping up a lot of companies with a lot of money. And I wonder, like, do you think founders are starting to get a little nervous that they're not as safe as they maybe used to be?
I don't know. So you're referring to Uber and Travis Kalanick.
Yep.
I think the difference there is that SoftBank wasn't involved in the unseating of the CEO, or they kind of came in more or less after.
Right.
But you're right. The situation at WeWork is odd because the whole MO of SoftBank and Masayoshi Son, who heads SoftBank, is we give founders giant pots of gold and we let them dream big and get out of the way. And I think Masayoshi Son totally bought into the WeWork vision and was the biggest believer in Adam Neumann and WeWork, even in the face of doubts from his own investors. There were investors in SoftBank's investment fund that didn't want to put money into WeWork at a large valuation because they were worried about the company, and so Son put in SoftBank's own money into the company. So there were many doubters, and Son believed until in the last few days, he apparently changed his mind. And I don't exactly know what happened, but you're right. That has to make any future founder think, maybe I'm not as safe as I think. Yeah, I have these, you know, extra voting shares that give me enormous power over this company. And yeah, this billionaire who poured money into my company thinks I'm a genius. But that's the nature of billionaires, that they can change their minds on a dime.
Shira Ovide is an opinion columnist for Bloomberg. And now for some related links. Now, you know things are getting real serious at WeWork because Business Insider reported Thursday that the company is selling the very, very fancy $60 million personalized private Gulfstream jet that now former CEO Adam Neumann used to fly himself and his family around the world. Some workers told Business Insider that they spent days downloading TV shows and movies for the Neumann children to watch on the plane. And yes, other employees said that when they didn't get bonuses or pay raises, the whole fancy jet thing was more than a little annoying. We also have a link to a Forbes story about all the other things WeWork is selling in order to cut costs, including three companies that it acquired in the last couple of years. No word on what might happen to employees at those companies. And of course, there are reports that WeWork could have to lay off as many as 5,000 workers to reduce costs. When private companies with no oversight fly too close to the sun in their private jets, somehow it's only the people on the ground who get burned. And before we go, a correction. Last week in our podcast about East Palo Alto and climate change, we mentioned Youth United for Community Action. We said the group had helped kick a wastewater treatment plant out of the city. But the plant was actually a hazardous waste management facility that did more than just treat wastewater. Stephanie Hughes and Matt Purdy produce Marketplace Tech. Eve Tro is our outgoing senior producer, and we will miss her. We also had help this week from Jody Becker. Robin Edgar is our engineer. Our intern is Jesus Alvarado. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.